I want to talk to you this afternoon on the topic, the Son, the Spirit, and the victorious life. The Son, the Spirit, and the victorious life. I was talking to a few of my friends on Friday night, and we came to the conclusion that the ministry of Jesus is not only a ministry of salvation, but also an example, a ministry that exemplifies what it is to live for God and to live for God in the particular case of difficult circumstances. And one of the things that the Lord showed us by way of example is that in order to endure hard times, in order to live for God in times of significant difficulty, there has to be at the center a strong relationship with God. And so you see the relationship between the Son and the Father, how Jesus said, anything I do or anything that I say is based on what I've heard from the Father or what I've seen in the Father. But there's also this remarkable relationship between the Son and the Spirit. And because of the humility of Christ, especially during those 33 years of his mortality, there was no expression of his own power, no expression of the power of the second person of God. Instead, he depended upon the power of the third person of God. So the Son depended on the power of the Spirit. He didn't move in his own strength. He was empowered by, he was led by, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And that was an example to us to say that if you are going to endure in this generation, and if you are going to walk in victory in this generation, you must not depend upon the power of the flesh. You must not depend upon your own agenda, your own experiences. You must lean upon the power of the Holy Spirit. You must put your hope and your trust in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You must be led by the Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. You must be dependent upon the Spirit. You must hear his heart and hear his words, because he's going to lead you every step of the way. And he's going to make it so that you walk in victory, irrespective of your personal weaknesses, irrespective of your inabilities, irrespective of any lack that might be in your life. If you depend upon the Spirit of God, there will be great victory. Now, in the life of Christ, we see one of his more significant battles when he goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, what I'd like for you to do is turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and we are going to look at portions of the third and the fourth chapters of that book, and particularly concerning ourselves with the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus during his trial in the wilderness, so that by way of example, we might be reminded of how God wants to work in our lives, in our difficulties, by the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus is about to go into battle, you can look at that experience and kind of juxtapose it to our own experience and consider the fact that every time you and I go into any kind of spiritual battle, the first thing that we are likely to experience is what Jesus experienced, which is, if you are a child of God, then why are you even in this kind of a battle? If you are the Son of God, why are you hungry? Or if you are the Son of God, why are you in this kind of a situation? And so likewise, the Lord gives us, by way of example, a way out of that kind of a situation, a way to deal with the kinds of accusations and the kinds of deception that comes because we are in a battle. Notice in your Bibles in the third chapter of the book of Luke and the 22nd verse, we see Jesus and the witness of the Spirit. That is, Jesus being acknowledged by the Spirit prior to the battle. The scriptures say, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came down from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." So what's happening here is the Spirit is already preparing Christ to go into this particular battle by acknowledging that Christ is the Son of God. He comes upon the Lord in a physical form, and then the Father speaks from heaven and says, "You are my Son." Now, why is that important? Because again, the first thing that the enemy is going to do when Jesus goes into the battle is say, "If you are God's Son, if you are God's Son, why are you going through a difficult time right now? If you are God's Son, why are you going through a time of financial difficulty or a time of relational difficulty or a time of medical difficulty or a time of emotional difficulty? If you are God's Son or if you are God's daughter, why are you going through this? Why don't you have what you think you should have? Or why aren't you in a place that you think you should be?" Everything revolves around the idea of, if you are a child of God, if God is your Father. And so what the Lord does is there is this time where he goes, he's baptized, he's immersed, and he is immersed with this idea that you are a child of God. So likewise, the Lord wants to immerse us into the truth of the fact that we are God's children. Why? Because we are going to go into battle. And as we go into battle, the first thing that's going to come is, are you sure that God is not mad at you? Are you sure you're not going through this because God has forgotten you? Are you sure you're not going through this because your relationship with God has somehow lost its vibrancy, somehow lost its vigor? Maybe it doesn't exist anymore. Are you sure you're a child of God? Well, what the Lord wants to do is, even before we get into that kind of a battle, he wants to immerse us into the reality that we belong to God, that we are his sons, that we are his daughters. So that is already dealt with. And that's what you see happening in the life of Christ. And it's happening by way of example, so that you and I can expect that God is also going to immerse us into this idea that we belong to God. The next thing I want you to consider is Jesus and the infilling of the Spirit. So Jesus and the witness of the Spirit, and Jesus and the infilling of the Spirit. That is to say, Jesus is being filled with the Spirit for the sake of battle. Then, and now we're in Luke 4, 1 and 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And so we see the Lord being filled with the Spirit. You know how sometimes you and I are into a situation that requires a special touch from God. We realize that this is not an ordinary situation. We recognize that the fire is heated 7 times hotter than it ordinarily is. We realize that we are going through something that we cannot manipulate. We cannot maneuver ourselves through. That it is something bigger than us. And we cry out to God and we say, "Lord, I need you to fill me again. I need you to give me a special touch because this is too much for me." It's sort of like the days of Elijah, where Elijah is trying to travel from one point to another point, and at a certain point he just gets tired and he just sits under a tree, and we hear the Lord coming to him and saying, Elijah, get up and eat, because the journey is too far for you. It's the same as the Lord saying to him, rise up and be filled, because there is too much on the agenda and you cannot handle it in your own strength. There comes a time when we have to remind ourselves that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the difficulties of our generation requires a special touch of God. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do the things that this generation requires in our own strength. We must be filled and filled and filled again. And this is what's happening in this particular situation. Jesus knows that he's about to go into a serious battle, that he was going to strive for your soul and for mine against the powers of hell. He was going to fight a serious fight. And the Holy Spirit fills him, comes upon him in power, comes upon him in a way that is specific for that particular ministry. This is not an ordinary indwelling of the presence. This is a specific baptism, a specific immersion, a specific infilling, without which we cannot survive in these times, without which we cannot fight the good fight, without which we cannot move one step farther. And so we see the Holy Spirit filling Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit leading Jesus Christ. So that we see Jesus being led by the Spirit into an appointed time of battle. That is to say, this battle was not haphazard. It was not a coincidence. It was not simply the doing of the enemy. This is something that the Lord orchestrated. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. You and I are led into battle by the Holy Spirit so that there is no temptation, that there is no test, there is no trial that comes upon us that will overcome us, because God will always provide for us a way. Now consider the fact that usually when we go through trials and tribulation, the first thing that the enemy would want to infuse in our heart is to say that somehow or another, your relationship with God is fragmented, and as a result, you find yourself in this place without God. You find yourself in this trial without God. You find yourself in this difficulty without God. But what the Bible says is that the Spirit of God led Christ into this battle. Now, when you think about leading Christ into this battle, you don't simply think about him taking Christ by the hand and leading him. You think about him going before him as a mighty warrior. And every step that Christ took, he took in the wake of the armies of God. He took in the wake of the power of the Spirit. When you and I go into battle, we might not see it. We might not recognize it. We might not realize it. But the Holy Spirit goes before us as a mighty warrior, and the banners of God are flying, and the trumpet is blasting, and the march of the Spirit is being heard throughout all of the heavenlies. Whenever you and I go into a battle, know that we are being led by the Spirit. Know that God goes before us. Know that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because they have to go through him to get to us. And he filters everything. You and I will never be tempted above that which we can handle, because we are led by the Spirit into particular battle. No battle is haphazard. No battle is coincidental. Every time we move in the name of the Lord, we move in the power of the Lord. And we move under the wisdom and under the auspices and under the banner of the Lord. That's why the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a banner. Jehovah Nissi, God will raise up a banner. He will raise up a flag. He will raise up a standard. He will protect us. He will go before us. He will sing the songs of Zion as he marches into battle. And we simply march in his shadow, trusting him and believing that he's going to help us, that he's going to keep us, that he's going to deliver us, that he's going to empower us, that he's going to cause his name to be glorified in us. God has an army in this generation, and I assure you, we never fight without him. He goes before us. And this is what we see happening. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when he got into that wilderness, he began to speak the words of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. See, he was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He had the Spirit's witness, and he had the sword of the Spirit, the words of the Spirit. If you notice, whenever the enemy came against him, again and again and again, he would say, "It is written, it is written, it is written." In Luke 4:8, Jesus answered and said to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." And there comes a time when you and I remind ourselves that we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of the Spirit inspired scriptures. And we can live by that word, and we can love that word, and we can rejoice in that word, and we can bear witness to that word, so that when we speak that word, there is the power of the Spirit in that word. We're not using the word of the Lord as a lucky charm or as a talisman. We live by it. We embrace it. We love it. We rejoice in it. We allow it to form us. We allow it to change us, so that when we speak that word, there is power in that word. It is God's voice behind our voice. And so when Jesus spoke it, God spoke it. And when you and I speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us speaks through us. And there is a voice that is much greater than ours. There is a power that is much greater than ours. There is a voice that resonates in the heavenlies. When God speaks, the earth trembles. When God speaks, the clouds thunder. When God speaks, men and women bow down and devils flee in fear. There is something to be said about when a Christian person opens their mouth in the name of the Lord and bears witness to the goodness of God. All Adam and Eve had to do in the garden to defy the enemy when he began to lie to them about the character of God and to try and convince them that God is not to be trusted, all they had to do is say, "Satan, get behind me. My God is good. My God is trustworthy. My God is faithful. I choose to believe the Lord." And that's the same thing with you and me. All we have to do is open our mouths and bear witness to the goodness of God, refusing to believe the lie that suggests that God has forgotten us, or that God has left us, or that God is exasperated with us and that he doesn't want to hear us. We simply bear witness to the word of God, that God is faithful, that God is true, that God is holy, that God ought to be trusted, that God ought to be blessed, that he ought not to be blamed, that he ought not to be blasphemed, that he ought not to be lied about. and we stand in covenant relationship with God, and we defend his name every time the devil tries to lie to us. We say, Satan, we refuse to hear that kind of talk about our God. We are going to bear witness to his goodness. We're going to bless his name. We're going to make certain that people know in this generation that God is good. And so Jesus stood in defense of the goodness of God. If God is your father, why is he not protecting you? If God is your father, why is he not providing for you? And Jesus stopped them right there in his tracks. He said, I'm not hearing that. My God is good. My God is to be trusted. My God is faithful. My God is to be loved. My God is to be worshiped. Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Jesus being empowered by the Spirit as a result of battle. So he was filled to go in. And because he went in and because he stood in defense of the goodness of God, he came out with power. And when you and I go into battle, and we stand in defense of the goodness of God, and we do that because of the infilling. We do that because we've been immersed in the fact that we belong to God. We do that because the Spirit goes before us. He leads us into this kind of battle. We don't do it in our own strength, no more than Jesus did it in his own strength. As a result, we come out with an experience. We come out with a little bit of background. We come out with a testimony. We come out with a story. We come out with something to say to this generation. We come out preaching this gospel. We come out opening the prison doors. We come out opening the blind eyes. We come out preaching this truth that is a balm in Gilead. That brings the oil of joy instead of mourning and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. This is what Jesus said when he returns in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him goes out throughout all the surrounding region. And he points out the fact that he is anointed by the Spirit. See, at this stage, because he comes down in power, because he's got a testimony, because he's got a story, because he can talk about how God kept him in a time of trial and in a time of difficulty, he no longer has to, on any level, hold back from the essence of his calling. He refined in the fire. And so he is able to embark now upon this thing that God had called him to. So likewise with you and with me. When we allow God to bring us through times of trial and difficulty, we allow him to refine us in the fire. There comes a time when he can do things with us and through us that he could never have done had we avoided the difficult times, had we run from the difficult situations. But because we choose to fight, and because we choose to go into the valley of the shadow of death, if God is with us, then when we come out with power, and we come out into a kind of ministry that is reserved for those who choose to follow God, even when he moves from the still waters and the green pastures into the valley of deep darkness. Into the valley of the shadow of death. And we say, Lord, if you're by the still waters and the green pastures, I'll be with you there. If you're there where there is a cup running over and there is a table filled, I'll be with you there. But if you are in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you there. If you are in a time where you are fighting against the enemy for the souls of humankind, I will be with you there because of the power and the presence and the promise of the Spirit. I don't do anything in my own strength, but if God is with me, if God is with me, the Bible says it is impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, all things that appertain to the call that's on our lives. And so he was able to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. How do I know? Because I was with him over here, and I was with him over here, and I was with him over here, and I was with him over here. How do I know? Because where he took me, he empowered me, he filled me, he strengthened me, he spoke to me, he ministered to me. I know that I belong to God, and I know that God is faithful, and so I know that there is a touch of God upon my life. Every Christian person is anointed by the Spirit to do these things that Jesus mentions because Christ died for us, rose from the dead, took captivity captive, gave gifts to men, gave us the capacity to do the things that he himself now does in us and through us. So that we have a particular anointing upon our life, a particular calling. And the truth of the matter is, the only way to know that, to find that out, so that it's no longer simply theory, is to allow God to take us through real life. So that we're not hiding behind the walls of a church service. We are fighting this fight for the sake of men and women. We are doing this thing that applies to our calling. And then we can say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, to say, this is God's time. This is God's generation. This is God's year. It doesn't matter what they say in the media. It doesn't matter what the philosophers say or what the psychologists say. It doesn't matter what the scientists say. It doesn't matter what the politicians say. This is God's time. This is God's year. This is God's generation. This is God's world. The heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. This is still God's world. And there is nothing that the enemy can do to stay his hand. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is what we believe. As our pastor said this morning, there is no such thing as a post-Christian generation. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is God's time. This is God's word. And when you and I go out into this generation, banners fly. The voice of the Lord behind us, filled with the Spirit. Then the prison doors will fly open. The blind eyes will see. The gospel will be preached to the poor. And the name of the Lord will be glorified. Now I want to pray with you this afternoon. And I'm going to pray, God, fill us again. Fill us again because this is a difficult time. And we've been called to fight a difficult fight. There are no civilians in the body of Christ. This is total war. And every single one of us has a particular responsibility. And that means every single one of us needs to be filled with the Spirit, needs to be led by the Spirit, needs to be immersed in the Spirit, needs to speak the word of the Spirit. Every single one of us needs a special touch because the fire is heated 7 times hotter than ordinary. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord, and if God is speaking to you, would you join me here at the front of this auditorium? If you're online with us, just stand up where you are if you can. We're going to pray together and say, God, fill us again in this generation. Prepare us for battle in this time. God, help us to make a difference in this time. If God is speaking to you, we're going to pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song of worship as you come through. Balcony, we'll wait for you. And then we're going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for not only saving us, but for exemplifying a life of victory, for showing us how to depend upon the Holy Spirit, showing us that a Spirit-filled life is the only means by which we can walk in victory in this generation. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to follow your lead into significant battle, the kinds of battles that save lives, the kinds of battles that save souls, the kinds of battles that change the world. And we're asking you, God, to fill us again. Even as the apostles asked after they had themselves gone through a time of persecution, and how they gathered around and said, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine vain things? Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, empower your people. We need a special touch from you because we cannot do this on our own. We need to be filled today because the journey is too much for us. We're asking you to supernaturally empower us so that we can bear witness to your name in this generation. Give us the courage that we will not back down. Lord, we don't have any strength in ourselves. We dare not boast along with Peter that we will not turn. Lord, we know that unless you keep us, unless you help us, unless you fill us, we have absolutely no power. But if God is with us, who can be against us? God, we believe you today to fill us with your Spirit, to give us the grace to go forth in this generation, to give us the grace to bear witness to your name, to give us a love for this community so that we fight against devils on their behalf and we believe for them even when they don't believe for themselves. God, give us the grace to change the world again. Give us the grace to bear witness to your goodness again. Give us the grace to cause your church to be known again. Give us the grace to cause your name to be blessed again. Give us the grace to cause men and women to bow down before your goodness again. Give us the grace to make it clear that there is such an one as God. There is one who abides in the heavens and who dwells in the earth, who makes his name known among men and women to save their souls from eternal damnation. God, we ask you to help us to help somebody in this generation. Help us to make a difference once again. Revive us again. so that we can touch this world in a way that makes it very clear that we are the sons and daughters of God. That we are not simply a religion, we are the new creation. We're asking that your name be glorified. Fill us again, O God. And we will thank you for it. And we will bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.